Matthew 17. Gospel of, excuse me, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. In verse 17, we see somewhat of the human side of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost a hint of frustration with the disciples that they need to be doing something, but they're not doing it. And here are these disciples learning, growing. They're the closest people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says to them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Now think of that statement, how they must have felt. Here they're learning and are being taught by Jesus himself, and he comes to this particular incident. Now, it's a miracle. They cast the devil out. The man's in his right mind. But the primary point of this passage and this discourse is to show that the disciples lacked faith. He said, you are faithless and perverse generation. That's a pretty harsh statement, just because they couldn't accomplish this feat. But it tells us something of the importance of living by faith. Amen. The Bible says we are to live by faith. Now, there's three New Testament verses and one in the Old Testament that makes that statement. Just so you'll have them, I'll read them quickly. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the idea of the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From the point of salvation forward is a matter of faith. Right. So he's saying from faith, the beginning of salvation, and on. Galatians 3:11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the question for us tonight is, where is your faith? Where is my faith? He made that statement to other disciples. He calmed the storm. Everyone was upset. They're going to die. They're out in the water in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So it was important, this matter of faith. And he said, why did you have no faith? So even the disciples lacked faith, at least at times. There's the parable of the rich fool. And he said, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow's cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So there is such a thing as little faith, lacking faith, unbelief. The boy possessed of a demon, Matthew 17:20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus perceived that he was talking about the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees, but he said, oh, you have little faith. Why reason among yourselves? Because you have no bread. And he's illustrating that point about the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees. But he said, remember how I fed the 5,000. Where is your faith? Oh, you have little faith. And again, it's stated when Peter see the disciples are rowing and they see Jesus walking on water. And Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking and then he starts sinking. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If that was true of the disciples and other followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, would it possibly be true of us? Do we actually understand the importance of living by faith? The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That means every Christian, not just a missionary that packs up his stuff and takes his family 5,000 miles away from home, but for every Christian, everyone that knows Christ as their Savior. The Christian life is a life of faith, and we are to live by faith. Are you living by faith? Now think about that for a second. Are you really living by faith, or are you living by sight? Are you living by what you see and what you know, or are you entrusting God in everything you do? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must believe he exists, and that he rewards those that follow him. So if you believe, you really believe he exists, that he came to this earth, he died on the cross, is at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, are you trusting him? Do you believe that he will take care of you? Amen. Are you willing to put your life at risk to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you even when I can't see the result? Amen. I think often of our missionary in China. They just were raided again. They didn't incarcerate anybody, but they told them they can't meet there anymore. I mean, that would take a lot of faith to keep staying there and trying to start churches and build churches. It takes a lot of faith. But you know what? It takes faith to raise a family. It takes faith to provide for your home. It takes faith to serve God, to teach a Sunday school class. Everything about the Christian life should be a life of faith. We have something we call faith promise. People ask God, what should I do to help missionaries monetarily? And we pray about it. We feel God lays something on our heart. And it may not make sense, but by faith, we make that commitment. That literally everything we do in our lives as a Christian should be by faith. There are foundational truths of the Christian life by which we relate to him and Jesus Christ. You know, the element of faith relates us to him. We either believe that God will do what he promised, we'll trust him in every situation, or we let our minds fill with doubt and walk in fear, anxiety, and turmoil. Remember one of the disciples, what his name became, or nickname? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He said some strange things. I mean, really, if you go back and read the statements by Thomas, you'd say, what is he thinking? But he made the statement, I'll not believe that Jesus rose again unless I put my hand in his side and in his hand. He said, I don't believe it. He lacked faith. They called him Doubting Thomas. In Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he contrasts the physical reality with the unseen eternal future. And that's really what it comes down to. Not just seeing the physical reality, but what is the unseen future? What will we one day think as we look back on our lives and say, did I live by faith? Or did I live by sight? Now, a lot of things make sense and they're practical, but not always. Some things don't make sense. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would make sense. It doesn't seem like that would be the thing to do. When we came to Connecticut and started a church, I know a lot of people thought that's not the thing to do. But we just never thought about whether it's a thing to do. We just felt that's what God wants us to do. And we have tried as much as possible through our whole lives just to live by faith. Now, there has never been a time in the history of our church, and I don't know if there are many other churches that would be able to say different, but we've never said, you know what, we've got about $2 million sitting in the bank. What could we do with that? I don't know, we'll buy some property. We'll build a building. We'll, you know, we'd have all kinds of ideas. We'll start a radio station, you know. There are things that we could do with that money if we had it. But everything God's led us to do, we didn't have any money. We just said, this is what God wants to do. From buying a bus to starting a Christian school to starting the college to building this building, we just said, I believe that's what God wants us to do. It was by faith. That's how we live, by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So hopefully I have everybody's interest tonight. It's pretty important to live by faith. Amen. And then we have to really prod our hearts and minds. Am I living by faith? Am I actually doing what is pleasing to God? Sometimes we get caught up in a place in our lives where we just want something that's known. This is, it's all settled. It's all, we can all figure it out. Yeah, I've got enough to buy a car, to buy a home, for retirement, for school, for college. I got it all figured out. And we can leave out the element of faith. It's important to figure out, what is the will of God? What is he leading me to do? And how is he leading me to live? What does the Bible teach? And whatever it says and whatever God, however God leads, that's what I want to do. And then you figure out the rest, or God will provide for the rest. What does that mean, walking by faith? Paul uses that word, walk, to denote a lifestyle or a manner of life. It's the way we live every day. It's the things that we do. It's when we get up, go to bed, and everything in between. Instead of letting what we see, feel, or reason direct how we live, every aspect of our life should be characterized by complete trust in the Lord. So it's not just what we see, feel, or think. It's what is the will of God? How do I know the will of God? And then when I know it, what do I do? It is dependence on the Lord's guidance. We hear a little phrase among our missionaries, where the Lord guides, he provides. And I believe that that's true, not just for missionaries, but for every person. If you're in the will of God, God will provide for you. You know, the least of my worries is, how am I going to live the next year, the next 10 years, or if I live to be 15 years? There's a greater concern of doing the will of God, seeing people saved, helping churches get started. There's more important things, and I know God will provide for us as we go forward. It also means our thoughts are dominated by Christ. All of our thoughts are, what does the Lord want? Is this his will? Is what I'm doing pleasing to him? You know, there are a lot of decisions that we have to make in life, and we always have to ask the question, is this the Lord's will? Will this please him? Is that what he wants of my life? That means submission to God. Walking by faith is a life surrender to his will, not ours. That could be a tough thing. We get saved, we're happy, we're excited, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven, my sins are forgiven, I feel great. But God wants your whole life, amen, your future. Sometimes that means getting rid of some old friends. Amen. Sometimes that means changing a job. I mean, there are many decisions that may come about, but our thoughts are dominated by what is his will. And every decision, is this what God wants? Is this pleasing to the Lord? Sometimes parents, they discipline their children. They say, now, You know, this is not something that makes me happy. You know, your grandparents wouldn't be happy with this. Your sister would not be happy with this. Your uncles would not be happy with this. There's nobody's happy with this. You just think it's all right to do it. Well, I wonder, is God happy with it? Is he pleased with what we're doing? It is submission to God, yielding and surrendering. If somebody says, you know what, I'm gonna start a church. I know what I'm doing. They don't seek any advice. I can do it. You know, it's almost certainly doomed to failure. Think about Moses. When God called him, he said, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in the promised land. He didn't say, wow, I've been looking for an opportunity like that. I'd love to be in charge. I'd love to be in front of everybody. This will be a great thing. I'm going to get some notoriety from this. I'd really be happy to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in the promised land. But he said, wait a minute, I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. You know, every step of the way, he was reluctant. But God helped him every step of the way. And all that from Egypt to the promised land, the 40 years, was typical of the Christian life. It's an example of walking with God, the struggles and difficulties, the ups and downs, and the victory, the miracles, and the provision of God. It's all a picture of the Christian life. We have to trust him to protect, provide, and direct our lives. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road. To let go of something and say, I'm going to put it in God's hands. There are times we may not want to do that. We want to keep control. I read a story once from a missionary that they would capture monkeys, and I'll tell you what they did with them, but they capture monkeys out in the jungle. And the way they capture them is they had a log, they hollowed out, and they put a hole in the side just big enough to get their hand in it. And when they put food inside it, and they reached in to grab the food, and they wouldn't let go of the food. And when their fist was made holding on the food, they couldn't get their hand out. They would never let go of it. They'd go right up and capture them. I wonder how many times that happens to young people. There's something they're holding on to, or any age. They won't let go of that thing. And the result is they become captive. But the freedom is being able to surrender everything to the Lord. Amen. Trust him to protect, provide, and direct your life. Don't you think the Lord knows better than we do what's best? Amen. Do you think he would do something unkind to one of his children? Not according to Scripture. He's concerned about each and every one of us. Sweet. And then there is, when we're walking by faith, that means we are growing. Our faith in God, our trust in God grows. You know, we go from one step of answered prayer. And it's a miracle. Look at what God did, to the next step. And it increases our faith. He fortunately doesn't tell us all the future. He doesn't tell us all the challenges we'll have. But he, one step after another, will meet our needs. So it's a growth in trust. Think about this. God loves us perfectly. There is no hint of him not loving us in any way at all. He is infinite in wisdom, and he knows us completely. Now, some of you children, close your ears for a second. But parents know things about them that they don't know you know, if you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes children and teenagers, they may be young adults and they still don't understand. Your parents know more about you than you think they know. And God knows more about us than we realize. He knows everything. Amen. He knows everything about us. And the Lord is sovereign. He is in absolute control. Why he does certain things, I don't always understand. Why certain things happen, I don't understand. All I can say is I'm going to trust him. And isn't that what Job did? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He's just trusting that God will do what is right and best, and he's going to trust him with whatever that might be. So now ask yourself, how strong is your faith? How do your sight, feelings, and reason affect your ability to trust God? You see the things, you can pay for the things, but how much does that affect your real trust in the Lord? What things in your life are you unable to handle? Are there some things that you just struggle with? Some things are difficult. Is your faith really in Him? Are you trusting in Him? What do you need to do to trust God with those things? You know, sometimes we fail. Unless there's an exception I'm not aware of. We've all failed somewhere along the line. And it helps us to realize how much we need Him. Every time we fail, oh God, I need You more than I ever realized. We always have to come back to that place. Through failure, we get up and say, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to follow Him. What is your first response when you face some problem or trial or some challenge? What's your first response? Are you saying, Lord, what? What is Your plan? What are you doing, and what are You teaching me through this? How would you walk by faith and quiet your fears and all your anxieties so that you just calmly trust in Him? It's in His hands. The disciples had trouble with that. Now, they'd only been with Him for 2 or 3 years at the time, but they struggled with that. They were worried about what they saw, and the storms come up. They were worried. They didn't have food. They were worried. There's anxiety. But hopefully our faith grows that whatever happens, we know God's in control. It goes on to talk about throughout Scripture. There's so many places where it talks about faith and walking, living by faith. But what is it to be filled with Christ? It is a Christ life. It is Him living through us. It doesn't mean that we have His righteousness, but what it means is we are able to, He gives us the power to live the Christian life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So that is the life of faith. It is Christ living through us. It is being saved and yielding surrender to Him so that it's Him living in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's His righteousness that He works through us. We're not righteous as He is because He's God. But He gives us the power with Christ in us to live a righteous life. That's how our righteousness occurs. Not because we live righteous. It's not because we do everything right or we never sin, but He enables us to be righteous, amen, to live by faith. And faith is the victory. We have a song, Faith is a Victory. What a great song that is. Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. It's a simple statement. Have faith in God. I remember those words from Dr. Robertson in Highland Park and Tennessee Temple. Over and over again, he would make that statement. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We heard it over and over again. Never forgotten that. That's what the Scripture says. Have faith in God. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory. So Abraham had this struggle that they're beyond childbearing age, or she was at least. There was no hope of a promise for God, but he staggered not at the promises of God. And there are occasions where it is beyond explanation. How did that happen? It's just, you have to say, God did it. It's God that can answer. It is God that gives victory. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is really a great promise in Scripture. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we see how important it is to live by faith, live in a trust to God, complete dependency upon His Word, whatever it says, whatever it teaches, whatever He guides us to do, it is by faith. Matthew 21 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, we don't need to have a mountain moved, and we don't need to throw something in the sea, but the point is, whatever He needs you to do, He will enable you to do. By faith. Not unbelief, but by faith. And then there is the trial of our faith. James said this, knowing that this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now the idea of patience means waiting on God. So we see the trial of our faith, we learn that, wait a minute, I can trust God, I can believe Him. He provided in the past, He'll provide in the future. Now look, that it's not our place just to pull something out of the air and a passing thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, I see Jesus in some vision. It's not that. It's the reality of Scripture based firmly upon God's leading in your life and trust in Him. It's not some vision or some feeling that you have or emotion. It is a trust in His Word and in the clear leading of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Stands in the power of God. So our faith is not in ourselves or ideas, it is in the power of God. 1 Peter, he said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith is essential to the Christian life. Every Christian, every born-again believer should be living by faith. Have faith in God. Paul, at the end of his ministry, just before he was killed, martyred in Rome, he made this statement, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. He was a faithful man by trusting and living by faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So that faith comes from him. He enables us to live by faith, but it comes from submission, dependence, yielding, following the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. He will empower us and use us to live by faith. It's a great thing to read biographies of people in the past. That they're not being written like they used to be. It was a common thing years ago. And so we have that treasure. And you read about some of these people, the things they did, and you say, that's phenomenal. I don't know how they could do that. You know, they go to the jungle and they see all these people saved and churches started. And, you know, they go to a place where there's no Christians at all. And, you know, they work for several years and no results. And ultimately, there are thousands of people get saved as a result. Leaving here, it's a man named Schubel Stearns and lived in Tolland, Connecticut. And he traveled all the way down to South Carolina and Sandy Creek. They held revivals, and some say there were as many as through the second, third generation of churches, over 3,000 churches started in America. Now, how that happened? Well, it was a man of faith. But all those stories are not necessarily so striking and amazing. Some of them are a little more mundane, simple, just living by faith. There's someone just, you know, they live out in the country, they don't see many people, they don't associate with a lot of people, but church is important. They're doing their best to follow the Word of God. They're just living by faith, trusting the Lord. Where is your faith? Where is my faith? If we're not living by faith, can we please God? The Bible says we can't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must live by faith. Doesn't mean that we're not anxious. Sometimes we think, I don't know how this is going to end up. I don't know what the result will be. But there has to be a trust that He will meet the need, guide and direct, and He'll be glorified. When you go through Hebrews 11, you read about all these amazing stories, all these different individuals that are spoken of. They all live by faith, and some of them with insurmountable odds. Some it would take a miracle for them to perform what they did. So God is able to change the course of nature to guide and direct us and meet our need if He has to. If He has to part the water, if He has to bring fire from heaven. If that's what He has to do, He can do that. But He doesn't necessarily have to do that for everybody. But He has to meet your need, enable you to live by faith, trusting by faith. Let's bow for prayer.